The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
Our county council pushing things forward, uncomfortably so for some, more so for others. And the phone lines will be open after we get a phone call from Carrie Marks Patterson. I'm sure I should get that right. We're going to listen a little bit about what she's been up to and her work on the Big Island and the passage of Bill 113. That was the Big Island Hawaii County Council heard a bill that... and we'll get more details on it, essentially prohibits the use of GMO technology, new GMO technologies on the island. I think the existing GMO growers, the papaya folks, are exempt from this this law, but it is in the hopes to prevent what is happening here on Kauai from happening elsewhere. So we'll get into that issue coming up here soon. This is going to be taken straight off the computer, so it's Big Island Video News. You'll enjoy it, and then we'll get into the conversation here in a minute.
Hawaii Civic Center, we spoke to a number of folks who played a role in shepherding Bill 113 through the onerous lawmaking process. Perhaps none played a bigger behind-the-scenes role than Carrie Marks.
I'm very happy. We wanted a decision today, and so we're thrilled that they made a decision today.
Who documented everything as a member of the Occupy Hilo movement.
Yes, every minute of this GMO issue, we've been here streaming and recording.
And served as a coordinator for activism.
Very happy with the results. It was a little shocking that Jay voted no, but then again not, but still very happy. We're, you know, confident that it will go to the mayor with a positive recommendation, and hopefully he will sign it. And if he does not, then we're well situated for a veto overturn. So we're pretty happy.
There were also activists who have reached a celebrity-like status in their constant effort to bring awareness to the issue.
Elated that we just got our first GMO ban.
Including Naomi Carmona of the group Babes Against Biotech.
We're a statewide political nonprofit, so anything regarding GMOs or pesticides, we're all over. We want to see it across the state. We want to see it across the country. We want to see it across the world. It's a huge deal. I'm a little bit in shock. It's a little bit surreal. I've been working on this for months. We've been working on both of these bills for months, and we just got our first ban of GMOs, like not just GMO coffee or GMO kalo, but GMOs, like from here on out. And so it needs to be refined, and we need to take care of some of the things that got watered down. But in the meantime, it's a huge start, and I'm just kind of elated and a little bit in shock.
Jennifer Rose Mydock is another Babe Against Biotech, one who has been front and center during many council hearings, often under a mask.
Yeah, that's me. No spray, baby.
With her three-year-old son, Dorian, by her side.
This is my son, Dorian. Yeah, he's three. He's an organic fruit picker and gardener and... all-around rager.
Oh, we're so stoked. We've been picking certified organic fruit for about a month now, and it feels so good to be in the orchard, just picking fruit that doesn't have any poison on it. It's just naturally occurring here on our beautiful Aina. I couldn't ask for anything more.
Support also came from Kauai, where just a few days ago, a bill requiring disclosure on pesticide use and buffer zones was passed. Despite the opposition of the biotech industry, and the bill was vetoed by Kauai's mayor, but the council managed to override.
Keep on the council, keep on the mayor, and keep the pressure because, you know, we're dealing with the biggest chemical corporations in the world and their multi-billion dollar industry, and, you know, they've been known to overturn smaller things.
Members of Ohana o Kauai, like Dustin Barca and Fern Anuinui, who played such a big role in the anti-GMO movement on their island, flew in just for Tuesday's vote in Kona.
Yeah, we came especially for this meeting to give our backing to the Big Island and come and say a few words from all the people on Kauai and bring the mana from Kauai to Big Island and really come pay back a favor for everybody's support from the Big Island for us and just showing that, you know, we're united as one here in Hawaii.
Dustin and Fern said in some ways it's already too late for their island of Kauai, where they say the biotech industry is too deeply entrenched.
The state of Maui and Molokai and Kauai and Oahu, which have more than 5,000 open-air GMO experiments. So it's contaminating of all the genes of all of our agriculture. It's major pesticides and chemicals that come with these giant GMO companies. So
the hearings for Kauai's bill were emotional. Testifiers told personal stories of children inflicted with deformities at birth, which they blame on the industry that has overrun their island with its fields of experimental GMOs.
My son has a condition called gastroschisis. Basically, the stomach's on the outside when it's born. So I had to fly her up to Arizona. I've been without it for 2 months working, trying to figure out, you know, what causes this, all this different kind of research. I've been doing it just on my own, you know, and I came across four other friends of mine that had the same condition. And it just breaks my heart that I have to go through this. I don't come here to point fingers. Don't come here to, like, fight. I don't want, you know, to segregate anybody, but something's wrong with this, and there's so much coincidences. I mean, so he couldn't perform the surgery, and so she's up there. I'm just trying to read this, sorry. It's been more commonly found in the islands of Hawaii, and there have been several studies and scientists who directed gastroschisis with a chemical called astrazines.
Traditional midwife Claire Loprinzi said she's witnessed these sad cases firsthand, and it was a motivator for her own activism on the issue.
Now, we on this island have a responsibility, not just for this island and all the islands, but for the whole world.
You know, I've been a traditional midwife for a long time, and the babies, you know, you can see that movie out of Australia, too, that came out, you know, Let 'em Spray. And when you see it and what I've seen, and a lot of people say, oh, you're so passionate about this issue. You're so passionate. I mean, some of it comes from my Mediterranean Sicilian bloodline, and some of it comes from, like I say, holding those women, watching these families, that it never changes. You know, you see the beginning of that movie with that older man, and it ends with his great-grandchild dying. And the DNA, and this is what I've just seen with the children that were exposed to these things, that they keep dying from cancers, or they die later on from cancers, and they're really healthy people, or their children are deformed. And so when I heard that testimony again from Kauai this morning, I've seen that before. And I felt for him, you know, because I feel for people. That's why on the other side, sometimes when you watch me testify, it's almost like I'm like this, and then the other side, I'm almost like, is she going to cry? It's like, it's really a hard issue to hold these children and to hold these moms. And then they don't know if their next baby is going to end up like that. And they probably are going to end up like that.
Marx reminds us that their struggle is not over.
It's a long road. Never give up. I think one of the reasons we succeeded here was because we don't have a big industry here. We're not fighting Monsanto or BASF or Pioneer yet. That was part of the reason that we were able to pass this quickly, and by quickly, I mean it took 6 months. It took 6 months. The first bill hearing was on May 14th. It is now November 19th. So, and it really didn't hit a lot of snags. That's just how long it takes. So I would encourage people to hold the course, to remember that it's never over. I mean, we won today, but we still got to watch them like hawks. Some people are unhappy with some of the amendments that happened in the final bill that came through. Well, in a couple months or a couple years, we should, you know, consider some amendments. And then we're going to need the same turnout again. So people can never give up. They constantly have to stay in tune and read a paper or watch my YouTube channel and you know, or do what you can do, you know, to stay informed and to stay active. It's really important.
There we go. Some information from the Big Island about their bill being passed. Their bill being passed in order to prevent the likelihood of GMO proliferation on the island of Hawaii. I'm joined hopefully on the line with Carrie Peterson Marks. Carrie, are you there? Okay, I'm going to have to put you on hold 1 second. And then bring her back on up. Hopefully we're all good that way. I got fat fingers. Sometimes I cut people off. Carrie, are you still there?
Yeah.
Oh, terrific. Carrie Marks is from the Big Island. We just played a YouTube video clip from, Tuesday's actions. It must have been filmed right after the council hearings. Can you share with listeners who might not be following the story, Bill 113, what does it do, and some of the history that got us to Tuesday's vote?
Sure. Bill 113 is a bill that would prohibit the open-air cultivation of GMOs on Hawaii Island. So the history starts back in 2008. Hawaii Island already banned GMO taro and coffee. So that one was on the books already. And then this bill, 113, was actually introduced as Bill 79 in May, and then went through some hearings and some amendments, and then they decided it was a little messy, but they liked where it was going, so Margaret Willie, who introduced the bill, withdrew it and reintroduced it as 113. And so then we just went through 6 months of hearings and testimony and got it through the final reading, and on Tuesday passed with a 6-3 vote, Bill 113. So, like I said, it bans open-air cultivation, so it's more about the farming of GMOs. And it exempts papaya and corn, which are already on the island. And so anything that's currently being grown here that's GMO is basically grandfathered in. And they can go ahead and do what they're going to do, but they have to register every year, create the registry. And if anybody is growing GMO, you know, sugar beets or whatever, and they have not registered and that's not allowed, there are actually keys to it. There's prison time and fines and stuff. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, who's going to enforce those fines? Is that a county enforcement team, or is that a state Department of Ag?
The enforcement actually has been one of the issues they've been kicking around with the bill. That was one of the sticking points, is that the GMO taro and coffee ban is enforced by the police department.
Oh, wow.
So basically what happens if you find out somebody's growing GMO taro, you call the cops.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go and arrest the taro and the farmer, I guess, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So this bill, that was one of the weak spots, is that it didn't have an enforcement arm. But there's political history with that, too, because they discussed that, and Margaret really tried to introduce that. And actually, there was another bill concurrently. We were hearing testimony and whatnot on Brenda Ford's Bill 109, which had the Department of Environmental Management as the enforcement arm. So that bill actually got voted down in committee, but then had to go to the Department of Environmental Management because they were listed in the bill and be heard by their commission. And that happened a couple weeks ago. And they, as predicted, sent it back to the council with a negative recommendation. But it has not been heard by council yet. So technically, that bill is still alive.
Uh-huh.
It's very, very dead. Brenda Ford is the only one of the nine that voted for it. So, and it's a very strict bill. It was a straight-up ban with
uh-huh.
30 months to cut down your GMO crops and switch to something else, and then, you know, straight-up ban.
Uh-huh. And GMO papaya would have been included in that.
It would have.
Yeah,
and
was that the area of, if you will, greatest resistance from your local farmers? Was the GMO papaya industry, if you will?
For certain.
Mm-hmm.
The massive numbers of testifiers that turned out on the opposition side represented the papaya industry. They were from all shakes, you know. They had, of course, the big manager guys there and the shippers and that kind. But they had a lot of the field workers show up and testify, too. The major opposition came from the papaya industry and the floriculture industry, and we had a couple of scientists that came and sat down and spoke against the bill.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically said that we were branding GMOs, like, with a scarlet letter. It was an actual quote of one of them. They were worried that we were tarnishing their image. But, you know, everybody pretty much here on Hawaii Island knows that the GMO, that the papayas are all GMO anyway, and so nobody really eats them. The papaya industry has been suffering for years, way before this bill ever started.
Uh-huh.
So...
And so most of that papaya is grown for export to other places, other destinations?
I believe so. I mean, a lot of it is you know, any papaya you find at the, you know, the farmer's market or whatever is usually grown here. They don't ship them here from the Philippines or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, the numbers, you know, that they're talking about and the income and the tax base and all that, that's on export for the most part. So... And that's, you know, that's been difficult, too. The Japan stopped taking our papaya when they started taking the GMO. But now lately, with their food crisis and Fukushima and all that, they've been taking them again. But it's not going well. It's a very small percentage of the export.
Mm. Now, Carrie, you mentioned the, if you will, the presence of UH officials and local farmers. Was there anyone from the Hawaii Crop Improvement Association or any representatives from the, if you will, big five seed companies?
Oh, sure. Alicia Malufidi flew over a couple times, I think, to testify. The names are escaping me now. But usually almost every hearing, we had people, biotech industry people fly here from other counties. Because, you know, remember, too, we don't really have a biotech industry here.
Mm-hmm.
We have no Monsanto or BASF, you know, operations here yet. That was part of, you know, the impetus for putting the bill out now, is that we draw a line in the sand right here on this island,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then they won't come over and invade us.
Now, let me ask you this, because you'd mentioned the fear or the apprehensions that this legislation is going to brand GMO as an inferior product. What is kind of the sentiments there on the Big Island about GMO food, GMO seed? Is it looked favorably, or do folks have concerns that transcend the normal issues of we eat this, we're going to, you know, either become diabetic or get cancerous tumors?
Yeah. I my feeling is that the vast majority of the people of the Big Island, if they've heard of GM or GMO, they don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
They're against it. But, you know, there's a huge portion of the population that is not connected or apathetic or whatever, but it seems like as soon as you explain GM, you know, engineering, they don't like it. So the most of the testifiers that sat down and either gave oral testimony or sent in testimony worked for the industry. They had a financial interest in it, even if they were just, you know, an hourly wage papaya picker. You know, they were fighting for their livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't fighting for clean food. Not, you know, hardly any of them mentioned, you know, about how it was, you know, the same nutritional value as normal food. That was mentioned maybe once or twice. Most of them spoke about how, you know, their family works in these fields and they have for generations. And if you take this away, then you're telling us that we, you know, you're taking tools. That was their common term. You're taking away our tools.
That GMOs are if you will, a technology that's used everywhere, and that it's helpful for feeding the world. It's products that helps put fuel into our gas tanks and food on our table.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now that's the standard, if you will, advocacy for GMO products. I'm curious in regards to, because I haven't really followed the issue statewide as much as others, what was, before this bill, what was your, if you will, your GMO-free Hawaii or the local anti-GMO group, what was the Ole GMO group doing before this bill? Did you have a group? Is it recently coming together, or has this been a long struggle for some of you?
It's been a long struggle. There was a lot of energy around the GMO-free movement around the time that they passed the taro and the coffee ban, right, back in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that there's been an active movement on this island for at least 10-plus years.
Mm-hmm.
But it has waxed and waned, and it's definitely, you know, like I've been active with the Occupy movement for a little over 2 years, and we've always had Monsanto as a focus. And that I actually thank mostly Maui for. They were the ones that kind of opened up everybody's eyes to the corporatist angle on the whole thing. You know, besides just a food and a health and safety issue, you know, they were the ones that really pointed out to a lot of the activist movement, you know, that it was really, you know, the big guy against the little guy kind of an angle.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, you know, kind of our interesting angle. And we always supported any national marches or anything like that. But this current bill came from Margaret Willey. This was her brainchild. I'm not aware that any group brought it to her. And so when she put it out, GMO-free Hawaii Island had just formed or reformed. And we were just starting to have meetings, and we decided, you know, we wanted to do a bill, and we wanted to do it through the county, and who should we talk to? And I think at our very first formal meeting that, you know, 10 or 20 people were at, somebody mentioned that, you know, I think Margaret Willey might be working on something. So we mm-hmm. should get with her. And the next day, we had a bill in hand, you know, that was already written and was fairly clean and fairly, you know, lenient. This is not, you know, a big, bad bill. It actually was, you know, quite politically, it was well put together. It had the papaya farmers in mind from the get-go, you know, but still, you know, we had opposition from them. So
speak to the process. You mentioned Councilmember Wiley's introduction, but was the bill pulled from the table for reconsideration, or there were some amendments before that process? I remember something happening, but I don't remember the details.
It was. She originally introduced this idea of legislation, let's say, as Bill 79 on May 14th. That was the first hearing. And I think it went through at least a hearing or two in committee and was amended a couple times. And the first time it came back with the amendments, Margaret Willey asked the legislative aide how to write it, and he suggested that she submit it as the bill and a separate amendment. And then when it was heard before council, some of the council members balked and said that they wanted to see a Ramsayed version of the bill, which is where you go through and literally line by line cross out the cross-out parts and add in the add-in parts.
Uh-huh.
So that they can read it all as one document. So it was pulled again, and she resubmitted it as a Ramsayed bill. And then when it was heard before council again, now they're complaining, well, now it's too confusing. I can't figure it out. It's all messy. And so I don't like it. And so because, you know, and it was exactly what they had asked for. So she pulled the bill. She withdrew the bill from the table, which kind of shocked everybody out of their seats. But she also said, you know, I withdraw the bill, but I'm going to rewrite it, and it's going to be clean and pretty, and you're going to like it, and we're going to do this again, you know, in a couple weeks. I will do it immediately. And Brenda Ford decided that she was going to write a bill, too. So that's so then the next time the council all got together to talk about GMO legislation, we had two bills to consider. There was Margaret Willey's 113, which is what we're currently talking about, and then Brenda Ford's much harsher Bill 109, which was actually, as far as the people that are very Akamai about GMO, that was the favorite bill. They wanted the hard stamp.
Uh-huh.
So that was kind of, you know, the favorite. But a lot of people, too, realized that, you know, Margaret's bill was very well-crafted. It was, you know, smart, politically smart. There was reason, you know, there was not... We need a veto-proof majority. We knew that from the get-go. Our mayor is going to veto this bill. Newsflash. All right, it's going to happen, guaranteed. And so we kind of have had that in the back of our mind the whole time, that we not only need 5 votes to pass this bill, we need 6. And we need a solid veto-proof 6.
Mm-hmm. And do you guys, are you guys confident with that those numbers? Is it veto-proof, this bill?
No, I'm not confident at all.
Mm-hmm.
I've had several emergency phone calls this morning from people in the community, and the news is the biotech corps are camped out. Actually, I heard that from two different people. That term exactly. The biotechs are camped out at the mayor's office, and mm-hmm. they're offering him the moon right now. Our mayor is termed out this time. So there's no vote the bum out action going to happen. He's moving on.
What do you think? Let's visit that Billy Kanoi as a candidate for a statewide office.
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe so. I've said for a long time he's a rising star.
He's been groomed for years now.
For sure, right? And he's pretty, and he's a local boy, and people like him.
Yeah, he's a personable guy. Yes, yes.
He is, and if you don't follow politics very much, and you only show up at barbecues and parades, you think he's awesome.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So, but he has vetoed bills before. He vetoed a very popular geothermal bill, a geothermal health study bill. That was the previous to the GMO hearings. The geothermal hearings were the biggest thing on this island for a decade. We had hundreds of people show up for that, too, and he vetoed it.
Mm-hmm.
So I know he's going to veto this one. And the current concern is, we had three council members vote against. Yeah? We had Chair Jay Yoshimoto switched his vote from yes to no this time. And then Drew Kanuha from Kona and Zendo Kern from Puna Oh, my gosh, I'm jumping ahead. The three that vetoed, back up, erase that part, were Jay Yoshimoto and Gregor Iligan and Fresh Onishi. Now, Fresh and Gregor have been a hard no from the get-go, so we're not even worried about them. They're just a vote no. Jay was a switch from yes to no. Now, last time this bill was heard, Jay floated an amendment out. He had an amendment that was going to cross out the registry and basically gut the bill, and he handed that out, and that was not well received at all. It got around the community right away. We all had copies of it, right? And so he told the newspaper that he was going to pull the amendment, which made everybody very happy again. But then he ended up voting against the bill in the end. So that was bad. And now the pressure is on Drew Kanuha and Zendo Kern. There are reasons to believe that those boys are being talked to and swayed, and if anybody can sway just one of those two to vote no, we're lost and we're done. If we don't have six to override the veto, the bill fails. And the way Hawaii County works, you cannot reintroduce the same legislation in this term. So these people were all just voted in last November. It will be 2015 before we can approach this project, this issue in this way again.
Mm.
So to be honest with you, this is the most critical part of this whole process. We've been going nonstop for 6 months, and on Tuesday, everybody was happy. Me too. To be honest with you, I teared up a couple times. It was quite a moment. I mean, we were really, really happy. But a lot has happened in the last 2 days, and word on the street is a veto's coming down. I mean, in 6 months, the mayor has never once gone on record, you know, about this issue. And then yesterday in the paper, he, you know, wrote that he was going to be looking at the language of the bill and checking on the science or something like that. So as far as I'm concerned, he's tipped his card.
Uh-huh.
And it's a done deal.
Now, the other, Chair Jay, I forgot his last name, Yoshimoto, he's up for re-election? Is he being courted by the industry? Or what do you think would put the pressure in the right spot for him?
Well, interestingly, Jay Yoshimoto is termed out this time.
Mm-hmm.
So he's moving on. Whether he's going to be, you know, if I don't know what he's going to do, if he's going to run for mayor or if, is this right? No, I think it'll be too soon. We have to go for state house or something.
Mm-hmm.
But Jay's seat is open for the first time, I think, in four terms, which is 8 years. So since you mentioned it, I am running for his open seat.
You are going to be entering the political arena.
I am. I'm throwing my hat in for County Council District 2.
Good for you.
Well, thank you, sir.
These are the things that, the associated actions that we need to, if you will, sustain the movement, but also to see results. Is to get individuals in there, individuals with integrity that are going to be committed to taking action and making a difference. Well, good luck on your campaigning, and a little bit about yourself. You mentioned that you're involved with Occupy Hilo. What else do you do on the Big Island, and what is your dog in this fight? How did you get involved in this Ole GMO movement?
Well, like I said, I think probably 2 years ago when Occupy started, Occupy Maui put on a whole week of events in January early on. And so we also tried to do some solidarity actions over here. And so that's when I personally was kind of turned on to this movement. And the reason I'm involved in these bills right now is because I do attend every single county council meeting. It's not very glorious, but I am a live streamer. So, and our county doesn't do like your wonderful county does and actually broadcast their council meetings. They don't do that. They record them and they run them on public access 10 days later,
mm-hmm.
But there's no live stream. So I do that. I'm a stay-at-home mom, and my kids are in school during the day, and so I have my daytimes a lot of time available. And so I can go down there and set up a live stream and just, you know, let people watch.
Okay.
And then I record stuff and upload it to YouTube and tab it out and tag it so people can search for it and find it. And that's kind of my gig, is I record a lot of meetings. In fact, I just came from Kona this morning. I was recording the Energy Advisory Commission meeting. So I like a lot of issues. I'm very into energy issues and, you know, I go to the Board of Ethics meetings and the Agriculture Commission. Anything that has to do with the issues that we're working on currently, I try and keep tabs on it.
Good deal. We are talking with Carrie Peterson Marks from the Big Island, from Hawaii, who's announced her candidacy for Hawaii County Council, looking to join the seat that is being opened by the current chair, who is a pivotal vote in this reconsider. If the mayor does vote does choose to veto this bill 113, that was the bill that was just heard on Tuesday and passed by the Hawaii County Council, that they anticipate, or Carrie is sharing with us on Out of the Box, that the mayor of Hawaii, the Big Island, Billy Kanoi, that he's likely to veto this bill, which would be a sad day for the people, I would imagine.
It really would. So, I mean, also encourage people to call Mayor Kanoi and send him an email and be nice and be brief and show some aloha and tell him how important this is. But we also need to aloha our council members that passed this bill,
mm-hmm.
especially Zendo Kern and Drew Kanuha, because I feel like they're being put under a lot of pressure. And they're both young freshman counselors, and they're rising stars too. Yeah, they're local boys, and they're going to live here for a long time. So we need to aloha them, and we need to encourage them to do the right thing and side on, you know, the precautionary principle idea and side with the people on this one.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that when the mayor vetoed Bill 2491 here, Mayor Bernard Carvalho, it was quite a shocking ripple through the community on Halloween. You know, a lot of people very disappointed, also knowing that it has, if you will, been somewhat a divisive issue. I'm not going to say the bill was divisive. I just want to say that the issues are divisive for a variety of reasons. But at the same time, it's unifying. It's a values clarification process for us to go through to say, hey, are we okay with this? And as more people learn and more people understand the issues surrounding GMO technology and the, if you will, reliance on petrochemical inputs, and most specifically the restricted use pesticides, that people's concerns are significant to the point where, other people want to know. And this whole idea of disclosure and this whole idea of creating buffer zones, that's the minimum where you guys on the Big Island have taken it to another level that's not available to us, which is banning this technology before it infiltrates. How would you, Carrie, suggest a Kauai residents, obviously not everyone's going to be able to come over to testify, but how could residents provide support for your council members as well as for Bill, Mayor Kanoi to go ahead and pass this, or at the very least, not veto it?
They can still call and email their support for the bill and thank the councilors that have voted for it. They can definitely pay attention to the issue, you know, and keep talking about it. We've actually, Kauai and Hawaii Island have both enjoyed a little bit of national press here on this, too. And so we need to keep fanning the flames on that. It's very rare that, you know, the mainland and the world look at us ever. And so, and they're watching. They are watching now.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can use this opportunity, you know, to spread the news and to celebrate our victory. You know, we may not even win, you know, in the end, but in the means, we've made a lot of progress, and we've turned a lot of people on and educated a lot of people about the issues. But to be steadfast, don't give up. We can never give up. If we win this tomorrow, and I hope the mayor proves me wrong and signs the thing tomorrow, and then this whole radio show is a big waste of time, and I know. But in my dream of dreams, that would be awesome. And even if he did that and we get our bill and we're good to go, we still got to watch him like a hawk. Somebody's got to, you know, make sure that it never gets amended negatively, that nobody ever does come in and just start, you know, planting sugar beets willy-nilly.
Right.
You know, we still have to be active. You still have to pay attention. You have to know about things like the TPP and what that is and how, if that gets through, everything we've done on Hawaii Island and Kauai is for naught. You know, I mean, these are all very pressing and very real issues to me. So it's all connected. It's all connected. So that's what people can do for me. They can keep paying attention to the Hawaii Island situation. There's a lot of information on Facebook. If y'all are on Facebook, the Occupy Hilo page has been posting news and calendar updates. Dave's Against Biotech has been very good to us and to this issue, and they have very good, reliable information. There's also the new group that's on this island that deals specifically with this issue is GMO-Free Hawaii Island, and they have a Facebook page and a website. And so people can go there and look for information, updates, contact info, that kind of stuff.
Terrific. We're talking with Carrie Peterson-Marks, a Big Island activist, organizer, live streamer, who is also running for county council there on the island of Hawaii, whose council just recently passed a Bill 113, which deals with the banning of GMO technologies, GMO crops on their islands. Not all of them, but the majority of them. It's a preemptive move by the council and the county to prevent what has happened on Oahu, what has happened on Molokai, what is happening on Kauai, where large agrochemical industrial ag folks are, if you will, monopolizing the crops, monopolizing the resources, impacting the community around them, and influencing the political process in ways that we haven't seen in some time. I want to get back to the idea, Carrie, of this movement and the momentum that, one, the celebrations that we're enjoying, but the momentum we've built and going into the legislative session. You talked about being careful to watch watch these folks. How are your relationships? What is your Big Island contingency look like in the legislature? And how supportive are they of the, if you will, chemical ag industry?
We have, I'm glad you brought up state leg, because that's coming up right away.
Right away.
We have the best of the best and the worst of the worst here on Hawaii Island.
Joe Tsuji, is he the best of the best or the worst of the worst?
Cliff Tsuji, worst.
Susie, thank you.
He is the only Big Island person to vote against same-sex marriage, for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the former head of the Agriculture Committee
was
and
chair
killed
of
a lot of stuff.
It
yeah.
just would not hear bill after bill.
Exactly. So he's got to go. And this is also the home of Malama Solomon, the beloved Malama from PLDC days. And she also, she chairs the Water and Ag, Water and Ag Sustainability Committee. So she's kind of bad for business. And then down in Pune, we have Senator Russell Ruderman, freshman Senator Russell Ruderman, who we are very proud of. He's a very good guy. And he votes well. He's very Akamai. He's with us. He actually showed up and testified several times for our Bill 113 fight. So he's been a good friend to this issue and this movement. And we, you know, some of our other senators and reps are pretty good too. But they don't all sit on the right committees.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We've got a couple big wigs that are on good committees, and we've got a couple that are stopping up some good committees. So we're also, I mean, I'm interested if anybody knows of good candidates that we can run against those people I mentioned. Now is the time. Now is the time to start really participating in the process. You got to do more than show up every 2 years and vote. That's not it. You got to read the paper. You got to search stuff on YouTube. You got to, you know, run a candidate or run yourself. That's right. Yeah. I will walk the talk. I promise.
Yeah. Well, good on you for that. I know that it is something that recently with our bill, we had an open seat because of one of our council members decided to join the administration in a high-level administrative role. So it created an opening, and there were 18 applicants, and the council members all applauded the 18 that chose to submit their names for consideration.
Yeah.
Our recent election, we had only 9 candidates to go for 7 seats, generally in our election we'll have a primary, and then we'll have a general election, and so the primary will get, I think it was 8 years ago we had 22 run, and then it went down to 17, and then it was 12. The last time it was 9. So the council heartful appreciation for folks willing to take it to another level. And let's talk a little bit about that. How has this bill engaged the voters? How has this movement energized the citizenry to be involved a little bit more than just being, if you will, voters on a certain Tuesday in November?
I hope it's been very good. I hope people are waking up and realizing, you know, that this stuff matters, you know, and that their contribution matters, you know, and a lot of times one voice can and does make a difference. You know, I have seen the counselors repeat testimony, you know, that certain people have said. So you can tell that certain things, you know, affect them. And it's almost always the good things, you know. Scare tactics get you nowhere, in my opinion, you know, and you get a lot further complimenting people and supporting them and helping them, educating them, you know, than by bashing them over the head with stuff. That's not going to work. So I hope that, I see it as two different groups of people almost, too. This very active new contingency of GMO activists and registered voters. Because I'll tell you what, I carry around voter registration forms with me in my backpack all the time, and I hand it out a lot,
mm-hmm.
a lot of them. So that's another thing, too. It's very important to push voter registration. People got to vote. You cannot say that I don't do politics. I have talked to a lot of people in the last 6 months of doing this bill that, oh, no, I don't do politics. Of course you do. You're here, for one thing. Right? And you pay taxes. And even if you don't, if you're on the dole, you do politics because politics is doing you, right? So everybody has to step up, and everybody has to do just a little bit more than what they've already been doing. And I know people have been doing a lot. But we're losing the war. We're winning a few battles here, but we have to stay ever vigilant, and we have to step up, and we we have to register and we have to run for stuff.
It's the fact of life. If we want to see change, we've got to be the change that we want to see in the world.
There you go. That's it.
Well, we're speaking with Carrie Peterson Marks, a Big Island live streamer, a community organizer, activist, and candidate for county council. She's been reporting on Bill 113, which just recently passed the Big Island Council, Hawaii County Council passed. What was the final vote?
The final vote was 6-3.
Six to three.
The three being Yoshimoto, Onishi, and Iligan.
And we're finding out that Mayor Billy Kanoi, the mayor of Hawaii County, that chances are good that he might be vetoing this bill. So if you're so inclined, and Carrie, this is a request for you, if you might be able to post on the KKCR webpage, a Facebook page, if you could, or on my page, just some contact information where listeners, if they're so inclined, can send an email or make a phone call to your council member to thank them and support them for their choices to make in support of this bill, as well as to lobby the mayor's office that he does not veto the bill. If you could provide that contact information, I'm sure we can get some Kauai residents who would love to support your effort to make the Big Island a GMO-free experience.
Right on. I'd be happy to do that. Thank you for
Terrific.
Inviting me. I can tell you, I got it pulled up right now. The mayor's number is 808-961-8211. That's his Hilo office. He's got four other numbers. But just try that one, and I'll post the full information on the website.
Terrific. Mahalo so much. Best of luck with your campaigning. Let's stay in touch. Appreciate the Facebook friendship and all the work that you're doing in your community as well as statewide to get that information out there. It's been a... maybe we can talk briefly about that before I go to the top of the hour, of social media and Facebook and live streaming, how that has helped us get information out and kind of be catalysts for getting folks out of their comfort zone and up in front of the mic or in front of the camera.
I think it's been very eye-opening for a lot of people. Like I said, our county doesn't live stream the meetings, and so you either pass by it on public access as you're flipping through the channels, or most people don't go. They don't have any idea what happens. And so live streaming the meeting has brought it into the moment, too. You know, it's happening right now. And actually, we've had meetings that go on and on and on for hours, and people have been able to check in on the live stream and watch the meeting for a while and then get done with work and actually come down to the meeting and know what happened all day long because they watched it. Another interesting thing that I love about the live stream is that it hosts a chat. So people can type in and ask questions, you know, and I can answer them or figure it out, you know. And so that's been amazing, too, because we can deal with issues and answer questions in real time. And you know how it is with Facebook has been wonderful. Twitter has been catching on this year.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are a lot more into the Twitter than we are here in Hawaii Island. But I'm tweeting, and I'm just waiting for somebody to notice this. But it's been great because we can get real-time updates. Otherwise, we're at a loss here for news.
That's
we
right.
have zero line on news. We're lucky. They don't even have, like, a TV news guy here. You know, there's... I forget what they call it, but we have
those
a guy.
Stringers.
Yes. We have a wonderful stringer that the TV channels call, and he shows up for stuff. But if they don't call, he doesn't show up, you know. So it's been really, really hard for us to get any real-time news until the advent of Facebook and Twitter. And now we can watch your – I actually mirrored your council meeting live on Kauai because it archives. You know, and actually, I'd watched them before, and remember when they lost one of your council meetings a couple months ago?
Right,
and that
right.
was a big deal, right? I was kicking myself because I was watching the whole time, but I wasn't mirroring it.
Uh-huh.
And it would have been very easy for me to do, and then people would have had that. You know, I could have. So that's part of, you know, that's part of it. It's part of the services that not only can people check in real time, but they can go back and check later. You can go back a year or five. And see what people said and did and why.
There we go. A new era in the social and environmental justice movement.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Carrie Peterson Marks, good luck to you. Thanks so much for joining us here on Kauai Community Radio and Out of the Box Show. And we'll be in touch. And again, thank you for updating us and the work that you're doing in your community.
Very good. Thanks for having me on. And mahalo to everybody listening.
Thank you. Aloha. So that was Carrie Peterson Marks, a Big Island streamer, candidate for county council, updating us on the progress of Bill 113, which was introduced a number of months back, but finally was heard after some council maneuvering to get it passed. So they're hopeful that Mayor Billy Kanoi from the Hawaii Island will be passing that bill, signing it, and making it into law, not vetoing it. I got to do a couple things here, and then we'll let you know that this out-of-the-box program. Oh, hold on. First,
you are listening to KKCR, Honolulu, KAQA, Kilauea, KTE, K284AL, Haleiwa,
right here on the beautiful Garden Island of Kauai. Got a phone caller. Hang on in there. I'm going to pick you up right soon. Uh-oh, wrong numbers. Keep on ringing. It's going to go like this. This out-of-the-box program is made possible by the good folks at Julio's Burritos.
Julio's Beach Burritos, ready-to-roll breakfast burritos with bacon, chorizo, eggs, potatoes, and machaca. Between mile marker 21 and 22 off of Wailapa Road in Kilauea. Now open at 7 a.m. Tuesday through Friday. Julio's Beach Burritos.
Yee Corp and Associates, providing personalized employee benefits and insurance solutions since 1988. A green company in an orange building. 808-245-5384. On the web at yeecorp.com.
Aya's Garden, all-natural garden and greenhouse supply. In Kapa'a, down Kukui Street from the Dragon Building. Fertilizers, amendments, soil, seeds, garden and farm organic growing supplies. Open Monday through Saturday. More information at 822-7333 or visit Aya's Garden on Facebook.
Right on. Mahalo's for making this out-of-the-box program possible and for supporting Kauai Community Radio. I got a phone caller right here on the line. Caller, are you still there?
Yes.
Terrific. You are live on the air with Jimmy Trujillo on Out of the Box.
I'm calling from Hawaii Island, and I just wanted to say that Carrie is the best thing that's ever happened to this island.
Oh, that's
her
nice
live
too.
Streaming. She's live streamed over 1,000 meetings now, and it's absolutely fantastic. I called in, I got on a little bit late, but I just wanted to mention or make sure that you mentioned the media consortium of Democracy Now, Grist Magazine, Yes Magazine, a whole bunch of other great salon, The
Yes
Nation,
magazine.
That they're going to be doing a two-year expose on the GMO issue in Hawaii, including both of the bills, the pesticide issue, the campaign contribution issue, the legislature, and that is going to be fantastic. So I just wanted to mention that in case people didn't know about it.
No, thank you so much for bringing that up. We were notified that or saw on Facebook that that media consortium, the initiative, was coming. It is welcomed for a variety of reasons. As Carrie pointed out, that the sources for news is somewhat dwindling and limited,
mm-hmm.
especially us here in rural areas. And this is a global issue that I know that a number of council members were like, no, I'm not really voting on this thing for
mm-hmm.
purposes of anyone else other than here on Kauai. But truly, it is an issue that has far-ranging implications beyond our beautiful shores in the state of Hawaii.
And for our local politicians that may have to vote on a veto down here on the Big Island, a lot of them have, they'd like to go beyond being a council member, so we hope that they'll vote right, including the mayor.
Yeah, there you go. Well, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate that.
And thank you, Carrie Marks. We love you to death, baby.
<There you go.
laughs> Bye.
Aloha. We've got a fan of Carrie Marks. I've got another phone call here. Aloha, caller. Are you on the air?
Aloha, I am. Yeah,
right,
thank
on.
You.
Thank you for calling in.
Sure. I wanted to say something about the media consortium,
okay.
Which they actually, we had a journalist here last week from the media consortium, a member who generally writes for Truth Out, and he just published the part one of his two-part just based on what happened while he was here last week for the bill on Kauai. And so that is actually now out online. And it is taking a committed group of people who have engaged in bringing the media consortium here, and we've had some financial support for that, but it is definitely a costly endeavor. So anybody who is interested in helping to support that, there are some really great ways to go about making contributions because it is costly. We're a little island far away from everything else, and sort of get journalists here. And the way to do it really is to make donations to the media consortium itself, because then we are not hiring journalists to come here. We are simply paying grant money to the media consortium so that they can then dispense it as they see fit.
Mm-hmm.
So because it is, obviously, it takes money. And the other thing that I wanted to bring up, which is really concerning, and I haven't looked into it more, I haven't had time, and I'm not sure who really knows about it, but I do know that Hawaii is one of nine remaining states that still allows for the county council to make decisions and legislation such as Bill 2491 that is not overseen by federal or state law.
Right.
Most states no longer allow county council to even pass this kind of legislation, and I am assuming that the lobbyists for the chem ag biotech industry are working very hard to get legislation to disallow this from continuing
mm-hmm.
in our state. So I'm not certain how to move forward in terms of making sure that that power is not taken away from our county council, because clearly our county council wants to maintain that right. But I think it's something that we, as a community, should be talking about so that we don't get blindsided by suddenly the state saying, oh, yeah, you can't even vote on that anymore.
No, absolutely. I appreciate you bringing that up. It was mentioned a little bit. Carrie Peterson-Marks had talked about the upcoming legislative session that'll be in January. For us here, we certainly would like to be in touch with our representatives, even though many might perceive them as being out of touch or not available, inaccessible. They are there. We just have to make our voices be heard. And the home rule issues, I think, are supported by our legislators. But the decision-making does sometimes often come to other people that don't reside here, namely the representatives and senators from Oahu. Their numbers kind of overwhelm our group of four.
Sure.
But we just have to be diligent. We have to keep our networks, if you will, kind of the ear to the ground and boots on the pavement to make sure that people are aware and to get the testimony in to the committee at the right time so that we're able to support home rule or, if you will, push back from the corporate influence that would like to remove these types of actions from local bodies of government.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you. I missed the earlier part of the show, so
no worries.
You for reiterating that and telling everybody else out there.
Yeah,
thank you.
No, thank you for telling us about the Medium Consortium and the work that we need to continue to do here on this beautiful Garden Island.
Yep. Thanks. Aloha.
Thank you. Aloha. So I do have another phone call. Bring her up. Aloha. Caller, are you still there?
Oh, yes, I am.
Terrific.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your show, and thank you for the wonderful lady from Big Island, and she's absolutely right. We have to all be more conscious, and also the last caller, of what is going on, and as hard as it is to make the time to get involved, it's really, really necessary as things are happening very quickly. I would like to give a short report of the mayor's visit to our island this morning.
Please do.
Okay. I attended the Lihue Business Association annual meeting, and the governor was the guest speaker. And first, before I talk about what he said about GMO, he had some interesting facts. First of all, he said that our population on Kauai is older than any other place in our state or the whole country, and because 34% of residents on Kauai are 64 and older. And this is presenting a problem with the budget because of health care costs. So a lot of elderly or older people, and I'm in that category of older people, are coming here to the state and have been for some time. And so the health care costs are going up, and that's going to be the biggest deficit in our budget now and in the future because of the aging population. And I thought that is something that we all should be aware of. The other interesting fact he had was that according to the latest census, one-third of Kauai is Caucasian, and 38% of Kauai is Asian, with the majority of that percentage being Filipino. And this, I never hear these facts, and I assume that his fact checker is correct, but I thought that those are interesting statistics. Anyway, what he had to say about GMO was very interesting, and he didn't talk about it in his delivery of his initial remarks, but he took questions that were written ahead of time by someone from the Business Association, and he later stated that most of the questions that were submitted to him were about the GMO issue. And the first thing he said was, you know, this GMO thing has been totally dramatized here on Kauai. And then he said, for those who don't farm, they seem to know everything about it. And I thought that was an interesting comment about us. And he said that taro is on its way out because it's too hard to grow. It is so labor intensive that he feels that we're dreaming to think that taro will keep going on Kauai. It's much too hard labor. What he's predicting is that ulu will be our featured crop here on Kauai, and that the restaurants and even all the high-priced restaurants and all restaurants are now featuring ulu as a main menu factor. And the other thing he said was that tourists are coming here for local food, not just fruit and vegetables, but also our livestock, because they're fed grass food and no hormones, supposedly, and that this is getting out to the tourist world, and that's one of the reasons we are attracting so many tourists here. I thought that was interesting. He said that there's a huge demand for organic products. The high-end restaurants are getting all that we here on Kauai are able to produce, and the other islands as well. And so he sees a tremendous opportunity, basically, for Kauai farmers to grow organic produce, no matter what it is, or also livestock. And he feels that the GMO business has been so dramatized that we really don't realize what is actually going on. That was sort of a slap in the face for all of us who have been very, very diligent about researching. I did not like that comment. So he says that our county is in no position to do pesticides research, much less enforcement. Pesticides are already regulated by the federal government. And he said every finger pointing in the world will not change reality. And he said, I need more money for inspectors, and I'm all for it. I'm all for what we're trying to do here. But if he has anything to do with it, he will not only encourage inspectors for the large corporations, but he will inspect all across the board, even with local farmers at farmers markets. I thought that was an interesting comment. And so he apologized for spending so much time on the ag problem, but he said it's been such a drama over here on Kauai that he felt that he should address some of the issues.
Oh, I'm so thankful that he's in touch enough to know that he should address the issues.
Yeah. Yeah, because it was brought up in the questions that he was submitted before he even spoke. So one thing he reiterated many times, what it was not important for anyone to agree with anybody in the political arena, or, you know, like the mayor to agree with the governor and vice versa, and our state reps, et cetera, and our Senate. But to have a good relationship with each other. And he reiterated several times that he felt he had a really good relationship with all our elected officials and our county government. And he felt very, very happy about that. And he spoke just briefly about the marriage equity bill that was just passed, and that his whole point was to make sure that Kauai, or rather Hawaii, was in sync with the federal laws, and that this is a marriage equity situation, and that in no way is it detrimental to any kind of religious faith. So, you know, his meeting was great. There are a lot of people attended. And it will be on Hoike. I don't know when. I guess people can figure that out from some kind of schedule. But it was taped this morning, so people can actually see it. The talk was only an hour long, so I hope people look for it.
Well, thank you so much, Marge, for filling us in on Governor Abercrombie's visit to the Kauai. Was it the Lihue Business Association?
Yeah, Lihue Business Association. The reason I attend those meetings is they have excellent speakers all the time, once a month. And you don't have to be a member to join, to go, but they encourage membership. And so I go every month.
There we go. Well, thank you so much for updating community on our community radio.
You betcha. Thanks for your program.
No worries.
All right. Aloha.
So I got another phone call coming on up. Aloha, caller. Are you still there?
Yeah, hold it.
Oh, terrific. Aloha. Welcome, Clayton Kubo from Waimea on the air, joining us here on Out of the Box. Thank you, Clayton, for calling in and responding to my Facebook request to talk story about the aftermath, if you will. We earlier in the show, I had a Big Island resident, activist, who will be running for council and was one of the chief organizers behind Bill 113. I had her talk a little bit about what was going on over there to kind of set things in motion. And I believe, excuse me 1 minute. Got to drink a little water, getting a little dry mouth. You, Clayton, have been one of the movers and shakers for Kauai. For listeners that aren't aware, you live downwind from some of the test fields in Waimea in the canyon. You were one of the first folks to issue a citizen's petition to try to bring the attention to folks about the practices by Pioneer. Now, after how many months of public testimony, of community engagement, how did it feel to be there Saturday to hear that the mayor's veto was overridden?
Well, it was right on, you know. But this is just another step, yeah, into what needs to be done for, you know, just, you know, I just kind of trip out that we had to go through, you know, many, many years trying just forget some protection, and then just 6 to 5 months of intense, you know, stuff, testimonies and meetings, and, you know, just forget some protection. It's like it's, you know, it kind of disturbs me still yet. Yeah? Just forget some protection. It seems like you know, the people that needed to listen, they wasn't listening. You know, the state. I don't know what else to say, really.
Well, you. We just had a report from a woman who attended the governor's meeting, or the governor made a presentation in the Luhui Business Association, and his advocacy that the state is the responsible party. The state should be doing this work, not the county. Yet we know that the state isn't doing that. And his request for money, for funding, for positions to do that, you've mentioned that, I know other people as well, in regards to the trust. How are we going to trust, one, the corporation, or two, the government, when the corporation is focused on certain, if you will, goals or objectives, and then our government is choosing to, if you will, be derelict in their duty?
Well, I don't want no justice, none of them.
Mm-hmm.
Until I see something happen, then yeah. But as of right now, you know, I guess they just need to do what they gotta do. It's like what we did what we had to do, because we had to do them, and we gotta have do them.
Yeah.
This will get some protection.
Mm-hmm.
That is like madness. Madness. You know, just on, you know, the day that's supposed to have, you know, the vote was supposed to have taken, you know, a few residents got sprayed on. You know, and look, the response, look how long it took to get the Department of Ag to respond. If the person never talked to the right person, you know what, maybe she would have been waiting for 2 days. You know, who knows? But, you know, James, thank you very much for all that you guys do, KKCR, you know, getting the word out. You know, thank you very much to the people of Kauai and the other islands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thank you guys very much for, you know, backing us up. Let's see. But you know what, James, I gotta go. So.
Well, I appreciate you taking time, Clayton. More importantly, I appreciate the effort that you've put into this, to bringing this attention to those people that need to be listening, for you to motivate a number of other groups to get involved, with whether it's words of wisdom or just being inspiring with your beautiful pictures on Facebook, knowing that, you know what, we've got a lot of work to do. We got to do what we got to do, and making sure that we understand that there's a way that we've got to do this, that we got to be respectful, that there is a pono process to participate in, and you've been an excellent role model in that. So mahalo's for you.
You know, definitely, you know, we need to have definite respect. You know, I get plenty of brothers and sisters out there, you know, Dustin Barto, Fern, Christy, Felicia. You know, without everybody, this thing would not have happened.
Mm.
You know, and that's what it is. Without everybody, no way. But, you know, again, respect, you know, no yelling, no screaming. You know, we saw all that action already. We got to all put that all behind of us and, you know, move forward. And, you know, nice knowing all you guys. And I hope nobody's going to fall out of the picture. Yeah.
No, we can't afford that. We've made too much progress to go backwards.
Yeah. Okay, then, James.
All righty, then. Mahalo's Clayton.
Okay.
Good luck out there. Really appreciate you calling in. I do got another phone call coming up. Aloha, caller. Are you still there?
Hello?
Aloha. You're there.
You know, Clayton and all you people, the residents of the West Side, Tracy, I understand how you must feel after all these years. You know, you're road weary after all these years, and I admire you greatly, you know, for all that you've done and for everything that you, for all in vain for all those years, and finally something happened. It's so exhausting, and so get some rest. You know, I mean, everything's going to be okay. But you know, here's just an example on Democracy News. They had in Warsaw, Poland, they got a huge summit, a world summit on global warming, right? And the main sponsors of all this of this big conference, this world conference, are all the oil companies. automobile companies, is all the corporations. Their banners are hanging up everywhere. Big, you know, clean coal. And there's no such thing as clean coal. It's all dirty, you know. And these protesters or these, you know, solidarity people, you know, they held up this one little sign of saying there's no such thing as clean coal, and they got banished from the meeting, you know. And then today, a couple of hundred of people from all around the world decided to boycott this meeting, and they all walked out. It was a big deal today because, you know, aside from everything going on in Kauai, one of the hugest issues on the planet is global warming. If the planet's temperature goes up just like 2 degrees, we're toast.
We're in a world of hurt.
Yeah. It's just like all the reefs die, everything, you know, and it's just like the same GMO stuff, you know, that, you know, in a couple of years, probably 2 years, you know, all these, there's going to be so much scientific evidence that these poisons cause cancer and stuff like that, that the GMOs will pull out, you know, well, because it's not going to take that long, even after the long haul that you've put in, Clayton, you know, which is enormous. It's enormous stress and strain on you and the people that live over there, you know. It's going to happen sooner than later, I think. I hope so, anyways.
There we go. Well, take that one. I love the thought of that. It's over. Sometime in the near future, and sometime that we can see that. So I'm going to drop that call. I got another call coming right up. Where are we at here? Caller, you still there?
Yes, I am.
All right. Thank you for holding there.
Why, thank you. I would like to say that I do not trust the governor, especially in the context of his behavior with the Public Land Development Corporation and that fiasco. I think he's a disingenuous liar. If he said something was black, I would assume that it probably would be white. So I never will trust that man ever again. I don't know if we'll ever get a good governor in Hawaii. I've been here 30 years and I don't know. And the last comment I want to make is I think we should continue the pressure on advertising to our visitor friends the fact that these poisons are still being sprayed. They will still be being sprayed, and we should let them know through flyers, handouts, or whatever. And so you have to hit these people where the money is. Once they start feeling the pressure, since the tourist industry is far bigger than the GMO industry, I think that will help leverage the pressure on them to clean up their act. And then the last thing I want to say is I think we should make a concerted effort to hit the homebody, the folks who use the Roundup. Because the gentleman who developed Roundup, he eventually got Parkinson's disease ostensibly from exposure to the Roundup chemical. So I think that just because, you know, even if we should get the GMO folks off the island, still in one's daily life, being exposed to toxins ain't good.
Well said. We would agree with that. I appreciate you calling in.
Thank you for listening to me.
Thank you. No, appreciate that. It is a significant issue that we're going to have to work through, because even though this bill was passed, we still have a lot of other toxic chemicals being used. I want to play this one real quick one because I forgot to earlier, so hold on.
Longhair Productions presents Los Lobos Sunday, November 24th at the Kauai Beach Resort Lihue in the Jasmine Ballroom. Opening act, the Kauai Rhythm Kings. Doors open at 5:30 and the show starts at 6:30. Food and full bar available. That's Los Lobos Sunday, November 24th. More information by calling 337-9234 or online at longhairproductions.com.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
Well, thank you for reminding us about that, and thanks for supporting Kauai Community Radio. Want to go down the list. Last week or 2 weeks ago, we got a lot of support on this show. Jonathan Jay and Dave Giroux were here with me, amongst other volunteers, taking down names and numbers and accepting your gratuity, your donations, your appreciation and support for Kauai Community Radio. So Juan and Jana from Omau, Steve and Kilauea, Jaime at Duke's Canoe Club, Nan and Hanalei, Glenn and Kilauea, Susan and Kapa'a, Marin and Roland, Sam, Michael and Sarah and Kip, Dave, all you folks, mahalos for your pledge of support for Kauai Community Radio. I got another YouTube clip. This really a couple of different testimonies. Same story. It's heart-wrenching, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in the near future here.
My name is Nicole Lee, and I was born and raised in Waimea Valley and Kekaha on the west side. As a west side resident, I'm asking you to pass this bill and do what's pono to ensure the safety of our keiki first and foremost. I'm a mother of two young boys. My first son was born completely healthy, but my second son here, Pa'akamana'o, was born with an extremely rare heart defect called hypoplastic right heart syndrome, along with many other organ abnormalities. This defect is not genetic, according to geneticists who tested us at Kapiolani Medical Center, as well as Rady Children's Hospital in San Diego. Upon the birth of Pa'a, we were shipped immediately to Oahu and then shipped from there to San Diego because our son was dying, his heart unable to pump his own blood through his body. He was hospitalized for almost 6 months and endured 9 surgeries during those months, 2 of those being open heart surgery. I had to resign from my teaching position in Kekaha, and we now have to survive on one income. My son will live a life of constant medical attention. He will not be able to engage in aerobic activity. He's scheduled for his next open heart surgery in May, because as he grows, his heart function declines. If heart corrections stop doing the job to keep him alive, he may have to have a heart transplant between the ages of 5 and 10. We live day to day thanking God that he's still in our lives. Now, I know there's no evidence yet of pesticides contributing to his heart defect, but there is a correlation between the fact that there is a lot of pesticide use on the west side and there's a great incidence of heart defects to children born on the west side. All I know is that while pregnant, I was not a user of tobacco. I did not drink alcohol. I did not use drugs. I took every precaution to grow a healthy baby inside of me. I didn't even take ibuprofen because I'm informed that it can be harmful to my unborn child. But without disclosure of pesticides or studies to prove whether they're safe or unsafe, I cannot make an informed decision on behalf of my unborn child, which I should have the right to do, don't I? By not passing this bill, you're telling me I don't have the right to know. In one letter delivered by medical professionals to the mayor, several doctors point to specific and rare birth defects. According to a doctor on the west side, I quote, recent CDC statistics put transposition at 1 in 3,300 births, hypoplastic left heart at 1 in 4,344 births, and hypoplastic right heart, which is what my son has, at 1 in 17,000 births. In the last 3 years, we've had 750 deliveries. This gives us an incidence of 53 in 10,000 births for these defects. National U.S. data shows an incidence of 5.5 in 10,000 births. So that says that we have 10 times the national rate of these rare heart defects on the west side of Kauai. Without the basic right to know provisions provided by Bill 2491, we the people bear the unfair risk of health impacts due to possible exposure. I know you've heard these facts, and you ask, where are these people? They're just statistics. But I'm right here, and Pa'a is right here. He's not just a statistic. We are the people. We are the people of the West Side, and we are the people being affected directly by your choices, council members. Why should we wait and expose ourselves without choice until pesticides are proven harmful? Shouldn't we do the studies first? If I had known, I would have chosen not to expose my unborn child as I innocently worked day in and day out in Kekaha.
Excuse me. I hate to interrupt you, but we're running out of the tape. Your 3 minutes has passed. Could you quickly
stop? Without disclosure, I have no choice. I have no knowledge. You're taking away my right to know. buffer zones, disclosure, environmental studies, this is not too much to ask. I know I can't change Pa'a's life, but maybe if we act soon, we can protect the lives of the unborn children who are relying on us and on you to make the choice to protect them.
Thank you. And we do wish you all the best with Pa'a.
Well, there we go. Some compelling testimony, and you know, it's hard to listen, but that is the even harder for them to experience what they experience. I have somebody on the phone. Elijah, are you still there?
I'm here.
Elijah Frank from Ohana, Kauai, joining us here on Out of the Box. Thank you for calling in. I invited you to talk story with community members about the passage of a bill that you were and your organization was very instrumental in helping get to the table, as well as influencing a number of people to show up, to testify, to participate in their local government, to ask for some simple things, to know what's being sprayed, to, you know, take actions that would help safeguard our children and our kupuna, and to help us understand better just how bad are these products that are being used. Elijah Frank, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that is difficult to listen to that testimony. It's heart-wrenching, and you can't help to want to act and do something when you have this knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first thing that Ohana Koi set out to do a year ago was just to bring awareness, and slowly but surely that awareness came all across the island, and we were able to work together. And I saw you there, James, every step of the way. It was nothing that no one group did. It was actually our entire island coming together to make that happen. Quite remarkable. I think everyone who is involved is still can't quite comprehend what we were able to do. It's pretty amazing. All the odds were actually stacked against us, and we were able to overcome that. I really have to give a lot of props to our council, and Gary Hooser and Tim Bynum, of course, were leaders in this, but also Jay Ferfaro and Joanne Yukimura, and all the council members were actually dedicating so much time and effort into this. But for us, we really saw Jay Ferfaro as a true leader in this whole thing. And for us, he also exemplified democracy. And a lot of people I feel that we've tried to reach out to for a long time, they don't speak out because they feel, why bother? Nothing I say is going to make a difference. Nothing right. I do is going to make a difference. So that was why Ohana Okoye was even formed in the first place, was to lend a voice to the community and to those people that normally don't get heard. And by coming together, all of a sudden our voice is amplified, and we were heard. And so I feel blessed and proud and all kinds of emotions that we were able to do that as a community, to have a concern addressed. And this concern was not going to be addressed unless this issue was raised.
Mm-hmm.
Not our mayor, not the governor, not even our county council, besides the two gentlemen that did come on board, were even doing anything about this issue for how many years. It took the community's voice to really put up the pressure, make it an issue. So I also want to just address briefly the lady who called in about the governor, that was great that she was able to inform the community about that. But in terms of hysteria, or are we blowing up out of proportion, the GMO issue in Kauai, I don't think anything could be further from the truth.
Mm.
The future of Kauai agriculture is truly at stake. And unless something is done in the immediate future to protect our ag lands, the majority of ag lands will go to GMO production. It's not something that we're just making up, because they already have a hold of a majority of the prime state ag land. ADC land is already leased to GMO biotech corporations growing corn and soy. And so in order for any of that to remain non-GMO, we need to start grabbing that and utilizing it as soon as possible. But even beyond that, people that are using ag land for ranching are getting kicked off of that land so that more corn can be grown. So to say it's hysteria is not at all understanding of the situation on Kauai. If we want to have any sort of organics, natural farming, agriculture, cattle raising,
we need to actually work as a community to make that happen, or else it's all gonna be gone.
Yeah, the comment that the caller shared in regards to the governor's sentiments that we're being so dramatic here, that we're taking it to over the top. I'm glad that you mentioned that, because he doesn't have to live downstream or downwind. He doesn't have to be concerned about his children's future. He doesn't have to, you know, question whether there's anything in that water that might taint the, if you will, the unborn child or the folks living in that that area. And it's sad to think of if you will, our highest elected official in the state to be so detached from it all, that he feels that we're kind of blowing this out of proportion, that we're being over dramatic about these issues. I hope somebody can forward him the testimony from the paw and of woman that just testified in front of the council that I played. That this is just heart-wrenching, and it's happening right in front of us. Even our two council members who didn't vote in favor of the bill acknowledge the harms, acknowledge the impacts, and were moved to want to do something. You know, Mel Raposo chose to get in touch with the governor, thinking that was the best route. You know, he was able to enlist the services of Ross Kagawa to join him in making that request. And now we finally have something from the governor, a response, because before that, there was absolutely nothing. Before that, the Department of Ag would again take how many years to respond and to close out some of these complaints. It's just absolutely unacceptable. And I want to go back to what you were talking about, Elijah, in regards to the outreach that Ohana o Kauai has done, the work that other groups, whether it was GMO Free Kauai or Hawaii Seed, even Kauai Rising, to get the word out there and to try to rally individuals and groups to support this bill and the effort. You're right, our council members who took the lead on this, members Bynum and Hooser, have expended a lot of political capital to try to make this bill workable. We were lucky we got some amendments that helped move it forward, but were they the right amendments for us? Well, we still have a process that allows us to make some changes if we have to, but only if we, the people, you know, can come together unified and say, hey, this is not working, or hey, we'd like to see more of this because it's working so well. Can you speak a little bit about that, Elijah, about capitalizing on the momentum that we've been generating, as well as the strength and solidarity that the movement provides in trying to make Kauai's agricultural future GMO-free, or at the very least a little bit more INA-friendly and less use of or dependent on pesticides?
Yeah, so a lot of the different groups and now the community that has got involved in this, I don't think they feel like their job is done. We definitely don't feel like our job is done. But you're absolutely right that this is only going to happen if the community at large is behind it and supports it. And we know that they are, but it takes a little bit more than that. It takes actually participating in some way. It takes your vote come election time in 2014. It's going to be a really big election. We're going to start to highlight the candidates and the issues, and that's going to be a really important step to stay abreast on. There's also the legislature. State legislature that is starting January, and all the issues that revolve around agriculture and farming that come up, we have to stay on top of those. We can either steer the direction in terms of INA-friendly agriculture, or it's going to go the other way. There's a strong momentum and financial backing to do GMO island-wide. I did want to call and focus more on positive solutions, and so that's what I'm going to focus on today. Maybe a different day I'll talk about the state of the state in terms of agriculture. But for now, I did want to talk about positive things that Ohana o Kauai is going to be doing and working with GMO-free Kauai and Regenerations and all these other groups, Kauai Rising, to make positive impacts. And so one of the things that we're going to do is another march. And the reason why marches are good is because it's a statement that you take. And instead of, we're not against the GMO. We're for a healthy future for our Keiki, for our Aina. And so the next march that we do, it's going to be, again, for healthy agriculture. And, of course, we don't see Monsanto spraying multiple tons of pesticides as being healthy. So, yeah, we're not for that. But we are for healthy, sustainable agriculture. And so we have a plan in place to start creating that vision. We've heard a lot of people talk over the past year about sustainable agriculture on the West Side. Well, now it's time to put that into action. And so we do have a plan in place to make that happen, and it'll be a step-by-step process. But the process is going to be starting in December, and we're going to start implementing it in January.
Well, it's exciting to hear. I got to share with you right before this show, I was talking story with DJ Schutz, you know, in between songs, he said, well, you know what we really need to have? We need to have like a farmer's co-op, like a co-op where we could make this land available, where we could help share, distribute the if you will, burden of infrastructure over a larger amount of people and be able to convert some of this fertile land into productive land and benefit the production of food for local consumption.
That's funny. I just came from a meeting that the core concept of the meeting was that exact idea, how to get a cooperative farming model going mm-hmm. and bringing it into reality.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that Ohana Kauai is going to be doing is doing a co-op just like that, where we're asking for the community to participate in it, to buy into the vision of Kauai feeding its communities through agriculture, through livestock, and spending a little less money at Fulan and a little more straight from the aina, straight from the co-op. And by buying into the co-op, you will be getting back just that. You'll be getting back Kauai produce grown without pesticides, and not only that, though, what you're doing is you're participating in a model that is not just good for the aina, good for your kids, good for your health, but it'll create the vision that everyone's talking about. Instead of just talking about it, it's going to be creating it. So it's not enough just to say, why don't they have these beautiful ag parks on the West Side? Well, you have to put in the work, you have to put up a little capital, and you have to make it happen. And so we're going to create the avenue for people that would like to participate, an avenue where they can buy into the co-op. We're going to start with a small-scale farm. It could be 100 acres, and then it'll grow from there. And so within the matter of a few years, you'll be getting a portion of your food from the co-op itself. And the shares to start, I might as well go ahead and disclose a little bit about it. We're keeping it very affordable for people. You can buy into the membership for $100 a share. Gets you into the program. You're now a member. And basically, you can increase your shares to get more out of it, and you can do that in one of two ways. You can put in blood, sweat, and tears into the land and be working, or you can put in a little more money. So for some people, they won't have the time, but they can invest and help the co-op grow financially. Other people can invest with their time and help the co-op grow that way.
That is exciting news, I'm sure, for a lot of people to hear that there's an alternative out there. And we know that the alternatives exist. We know that there's multiple benefits when we produce local produce and it's consumed locally. That money that's exchanged from farmer to consumer is significantly of greater value than when we go down to Costco and go buy a bunch of produce that came over on a barge that was packaged in plastic a month ago and somehow made it because of refrigeration and modern transportation technology. To be able to have plots of land for folks who do want to put in that sweat equity, or those that would like to support an alternative model to have some food sovereignty, this is welcome news. And I shared that with you because I knew on Facebook, Elijah, several conversations were going around talking about that model. And then when I come into the station and somebody who I would have to say is not involved in the movement, but is involved as on the periphery and as a supporter, says, you know what, we need to have these co-ops, that so many of us are thinking along these lines, and that there is a coordination happening at multiple levels that will allow us to build that infrastructure, that will allow us to build that capacity and build that community around generating local food for local consumption, and we all benefit greatly.
Yeah, we got a little motto going, local farms growing local food for local people.
There we go. You can't beat that. So we're talking with Elijah Frank from Ohana Okawai, one of the chief movers and shakers with the organization. Tell us a little bit about Ohana Okawai, and if people want to get involved or people have more questions, who would they want to direct those to, and how would they contact them?
The best way to first get involved is check us out online, either on Facebook or check out our website.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the programs that we're going to be starting up, and we'll be posting the dates online on ohanaokawai.org, is community gardening, to where Ohana Okawai, once a month, will be going to someone's home and buffing out a garden. And what we're looking for is participants. And by participating, you kind of gain membership into Ohana Okawai. And also you gain the possibilities of us coming to your home and buffing out your garden. So we're going to be starting that up most likely and also in January. And once a month we'll be going to a different location, fertilizing the soil, putting all kinds of nutrients into the beds, putting in an irrigation system, and giving a voucher out to go get some organic starts, and setting you up for a nice little home garden.
Wow, that is what comes around goes around, right?
Yeah, so that'll be posted on our website, and that's a great way to first get involved with Ohana Okawai.
Mm. Absolutely. We're speaking with Elijah Frank from Ohana Okawai. You can visit on the website, www.ohanaokawai.org, or if you're a Facebook friend, you can go to their webpage, Ohana Okawai, like them, get involved. It's a growing revolution, that's for sure. Elijah Frank, thanks so much for joining us here on Out of the Box.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for all your help and all this. Like I said, it was definitely a community effort. And everyone's participation is what made that happen, and that's what we're going to need going forward, is everyone's participation to create the future for Kauai that we want to see. It ain't going to happen if we don't participate.
There we go. Thank you so much for participating, Elijah, and have a wonderful, wonderful afternoon and wonderful evening, and happy holidays to you, brother.
Okay. Aloha, James.
Aloha. We do have one more phone caller coming on up. I'm going to play this right now because I can, and then we'll take the phone call right away.
Hi, this is Mose. Tune into the Acoustic Luau Thursday evenings from 6 to 8 p.m. You won't hear a lot of brand names, but you will hear some darn good contemporary singer-songwriters, along with a wide range of other acoustic music. That's the Acoustic Luau, Thursdays from 6 to 8 p.m., right here on our community radio station, KKCR.
There we go. That'll be in about 8 minutes. Mose will be sitting in here. Chair's warm for him. I got a phone call. Are you there still?
Yes.
All right. I didn't cut you off. Thanks so much for holding.
Okay. Regarding the governor's speech today,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that he went out of his way to say that, you know, us pro 2491 people were over dramatizing and basically being hysterical, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, basically he was saying that we were stupid, uninformed people who couldn't grab our behinds with both hands if we tried,
mm-hmm.
which like the caller said is a real slap in the face, and just another example of the governor talking out of both sides of his mouth. Is for him to then go on to say that the market for organics is huge, seemingly limitless, that the future lies in organics, and everybody should, you know, how can you grow organic if you're being polluted with GMO everything around you? He either doesn't know that you can't be certified organic if you're polluted with GMO crossovers of any kind, or he knows it and he's just talking to make people feel good. So I have no illusions about this governor when it comes to the issues that we're fighting for here on Kauai.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to remind everybody that our senator and one of our representatives are not our friends. They have taken obscene amounts of money from the GMO industry, and they are fist in glove with those people.
Right.
So we can imagine that in the time, in the nine-month period between 2491 passing and becoming implemented, we can imagine that those two people, our senator and one of our representatives, are going to be working as hard as they can to undercut us in every way that they can. So it's incumbent upon us to follow this legislative session as closely as we possibly can follow it, because these two people are going to do everything that they can to give the power back to these chemical companies and to reduce or remove home rule to prevent things like this from happening again. So anyway, thank you for your time. Great show as usual.
Thank you. Appreciate you calling in.
Okay.
We'll be in touch.
Looking forward to the next show.
And happy holidays to you, brother.
Same. Thank you.
Aloha. All right, our last caller. Aloha, you there? Got a comment about a co-op movie?
Yes, I'm really thankful to hear from Elijah that a co-op for gardening or farmers is starting. This is fabulous, and I just want to alert people. On December 7th, it's a Saturday, there's going to be a movie that's been going nationwide now called Shift Change. And it's going to be, its next presentation is going to be at the Waipa Community Center there, that brand new beautiful building right at Waipa, on December 7th. I don't know the time yet, but there will be posters in the community and a press release. I just want people to put it on their calendar, because it's all about how successful co-ops are and are now and can be in all kinds of fields. And this is the way to go for acquiring pieces of land that are affordable. And I'm so glad that Elijah brought this forward to us today. So put it on your calendar, everybody. December 7th at Waipa, and the time will be announced. Look for posters in the community.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. We're going to wrap up our show here with that. So that's December 7th at Waipa, Shift Change, about the cooperative movement and ways that we can get our cooperative a little bit more cooperative. So get your cooperative on, and thank you for listening to Kauai Community Radio. Got one more Rage Against the Machine for you. It's been one of those afternoons. DJ Shoots, thanks so much for putting the inspiration there. You'll be listening to Moe's here very shortly. This is called Guerrilla Radio. Maria, I love you. Manalea, congratulations. Good job. I got a little message for you. It just says this. Terrific. Happy holidays to all of you. Keep on raging.
to start sometime. What better place than here? What better time than now?